years ago, our congregation signed up to become a host church with Family Promise of Western Waukesha County. This means that we will provide food and overnight shelter in our church for up to 4 local homeless families for 1 week at a time, 4 times throughout the year. As a church member or friend, there are many opportunities to help. We need volunteers in every capacity for setup, meals, activities, overnight stays, etc. Our mandatory training session for volunteers and our host week are fast approaching. The training session will be December 2nd here at church, and our first host week will be December 21st through the 28th. LCUUC volunteer coordinators Robert Ayler, Sheila Larkin, Bill Listis, and Gina Magnus, please stand up. They will be available at a table in the fellowship hall after church to answer questions and give you information about volunteering. Thank you. And now we'd like to have Amy Say please come up to share the results of our time, talent, and treasures auction.
Good morning. I want to thank everyone first who participated in this year's auction, whether you donated something or bid on something or both. We had winning bids ranging everywhere from $3 to $200, all of them making a difference. In the end, we raised $10,154. Again, thank you, and please find me in the social hall after the service to pick up your treasures and your bill. Thank you.
Come in with joy. Come in with burning heart and glowing face, a beacon of light for everyone to see. Come in and shine like stars, shine like moons and gold and precious gems. Shine with your own inner light, and let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor.
Thank you. light of the Lord, burn away all that is unwanted, and light our way into joy. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our first hymn, 1018 in the Teal Hymnal, Come and Go With Me. Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Fran Bills, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, friends, and members, wherever they are on life's journey, and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics you may have here with you today. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We are so pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
One of the ways that we care for our community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items that we donate each month. So if you've brought food to share with your neighbors, please bring it forward at this point in the service, or ask a child to bring it forward for you. And I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. Some of the big children were here with us last night, helping with the haunted house up until around 1 in the morning. So we've got some pretty tired folks wandering around today. Wow, what a great group of costumes.
You all look incredible. So today is Diwali, which is a holiday that's celebrated in a bunch of countries across the world, mostly in India. It's a Hindu holiday. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the story of Diwali, and it's a little different in every country. This is one of those holidays that changes shape and size and practice and what you do on the holiday, depending on where you're at. So we're going to talk about the traditional Indian story. Once upon a time, there was a great warrior, and his name was Prince Rama. And Rama was just about perfect. He looked good, he was strong, he was smart, and of course he drove everyone crazy because he was so perfect. And he had a beautiful wife, and her name was Sita. And Sita had long hair, and she loved jewelry. In fact, she loved jewelry so much that she wore gold on her ears and around her neck, on her fingers and on her belt. She probably clanked when she walked. And this couple was very, very happy, but they didn't know that the evil and terrible king, Ravana, who was a demon, was looking for them. What do you guys think a scary, scary monster king looks like? Any ideas? What?
20 arms.
20 arms? That's a good one. What else? What else might he have?
Big five.
Big teeth? What do you think?
5 feet.
Okay.
Eyeballs all over his body.
Eyeballs all over.
Looks like
a
bunch of teeth.
Huh? Well, he had 20 arms and 10 heads, and everyone was scared of him. Well, I imagine if you had 10 heads with big teeth, and he walked around and he snarled at everyone. And he saw Princess Sita, and he fell in love with her. What do you think she thought about that?
No way.
No way. So he decided he would kidnap her and carry her off in his chariot, his big wheeled car. And so he grabbed her and took her away, but she was smart. What do you think she did?
She probably cut a hole in his
head. Okay, that's one thought. What do we got?
Put a pressure plate in the front of their door and under the pressure plate was a trap door. So then it went.
Okay, so booby trap. Hey, that's close. Made a dummy out of gold of herself. Okay. So what she really did was every minute that they were driving, she'd take off another piece of gold and she'd look around and she'd throw it away as fast as she could, and then she'd go back and sit. And when he'd look at her, she'd smile. And then he'd look away again, she'd throw more gold. When he went to pick her up, she fought and she screamed and she bit. If she would have been able, she would have built a trap door and sprung him. But Rama was looking for her by now. And while she screamed and fought and bit and left him a trail of her jewelry, he found some friends. He went and found the monkey king, Haruman, who was a big, strong, giant monkey who was king over all the bears and all the monkeys. And he said, "Haruman, help me. I got to get Sita back. She left me this trail of gold jewelry. And she's fought and kicked and screamed and bit so much that they tore up the ground, all the way from here to wherever he took her. Help me find her." So Haruman got all his bears and all his monkeys, and they built a giant bridge out to the island where Ravana the Demon King was hidden. It took him a long time, but the army of monkeys and bears built the bridge, and they rode over it. And they got to the wall of the castle, and what do you think they did?
They went they had a riot and the bear smashed through the wall and chucked the bricks at the TNT.
Pretty good.
Is that TNT?
Huh?
Is that TNT?
If they would have had TNT, they would have set it up. So all the bears and all the monkeys and Prince Rama got to the castle, and they threw bricks and they threw stones, and the bears hit the walls, and the monkeys climbed over, and there inside was Sita, and she applauded them all because they had followed the trail of gold jewelry that she had thrown away. Rama shot the evil Ravina with a magic arrow that he had carried with him the whole time, and Ravina disappeared. All his heads and all his arms and all his eyeballs were just gone. And everybody started to clap and applaud. Rama and Sita got back in the chariot and started their ride home. And everybody, as they went past, was so happy to see him that they lit their houses up and waved to him as they went by, because they had escaped the evil demon king. Everyone danced and laughed and lit firecrackers because they were so happy the demon was gone and Rama and Sita were back together. And ever since then, every year, they have a festival where they light firecrackers, light up the house to remember that this is what happened.
If they have firecrackers, why don't they have TNT?
They weren't good enough to build the TNT. I don't know. They weren't thinking. So I'm going to send you guys back to your classroom today, and when you get there, you're going to be doing a little bit of a hunt, because you're going to be looking for some of that gold that Sita threw away as she was driving in her chariot, and your teachers will explain to you what you're doing. So if I can get Jack, my lantern bearer. May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. And if you all would help me sing the children to their classroom, the song is called "For You Shall Go Out," and the words are written in your order of service. Had not really attended church at any point in their lives, and when it came time for them to get married, they went and found a UU minister. Overwhelmed by all the possibilities, the couple told him, "Oh, just do it the traditional way, whatever." During the wedding rehearsal, the groom approached him and said this, "Look, I'll give you $100 if you do it a little different. I know we said we wanted all that traditional stuff, but you know, if you could just leave out the love, honor, obey, and especially forsaking all others, I'd appreciate it." And he handed the minister $100 bill and walked away, very happy. The next day during the ceremony, the time came for the vows, and the pastor looked the young man in the eye and said, "Will you promise to prostrate yourself before her, obey her every command and wish
Serve her breakfast in bed every day of your life, and swear eternally before the divine and your wife that you will never, ever even breathe on another woman as long as you shall live. The groom gulped and said in a tiny voice, "Yes." And then he hissed, "I thought we had a deal." The pastor gently put the $100 bill back into the groom's hand and whispered, "She offered me $5,000. As I have no wedding scheduled in the immediate future, it's up to you to make me a better offer. The morning offering will now be given and received, and today we are doing a special collection to help refill our building fund after we had to spend some of it to finish our remodeling. So please give generously." Thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community. This is the time in our service where we share our joys and our concerns. And we do this in several ways. Before the service, you're always allowed to come up front and choose to light a candle for yourself, for those joys that you perhaps don't wish to speak aloud, or those concerns too deep to share. During the service at this point, we speak our joys and concerns aloud, and we light candles. So would anyone who has something to share, please raise your hand, and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Hi, this is Mark. A few weeks ago, I sent an email out that I was doing a walk for ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, for a work colleague. It was a great walk. Several of us went down on Sunday, October 12th. They had free beer, free Bloody Marys, and free Stillman hamburgers, live music. It was a beautiful day. That's the joy part. The concern was that the person we were walking for, unfortunately, she did not make it. She died the Monday before the walk. So it was. She was young at 58, but so we all missed her and had a funeral the day before. So.
This is Amy, a candle of joy and congratulations for Ellery Craven, one of our high schoolers. Yesterday, she qualified to run at the state cross-country meet, which takes place next Saturday in Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm Sheila, and I have something kind of silly, but nonetheless a little important to me. This past week, I had a family of mice in my living room. I live in a very nice condo, but for some reason, they were scampering around, and I bought a live trap and caught four of them. And my friend who let me help me set them free was doing well until she went to show me that one of them wouldn't come out, and it jumped out into my car. And as of 2 days ago, I know it was still there. Today, I don't know. The live trap's in the car. I've tried all sorts of things. Phil Smith told me to leave my doors open at night, and I've been doing that. So my hope is that, my concern is that it doesn't run off my leg while I'm driving.
And I'd like to light a candle of joy for everyone who helped with the haunted house, our second annual haunted house. We had an incredibly good time, and we had an incredible crew of people, from Nancy, who played the organ for 2 days straight. I'm sure she's hearing Harry Potter and Toccata and Fugue in her nightmares. John, who did our sound system. Doug, who wandered through Zombified. Diane, our favorite zombie. Claire. It was an amazing group of people, and I will be listing them all at a further date, but just thank you, everyone. It was an amazing amount of fun. Really terrific. We light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows which we hold deeply, but which we have not been able to name here today.
Who is the goddess Lakshmi? By Rhiannon Barkamayer DeWitt. Lakshmi is a beautiful and loving Hindu goddess of good fortune and prosperity, and is devoted to our realizing and experiencing all-encompassing eternal happiness. Lakshmi helps create happiness within our individual lives by illuminating our divine source and opening up our eternal and internal floodgates to allow good fortune to flow from the universal source directly into our lives. She is also a goddess of beauty and love. Lakshmi is often depicted sitting or standing upon a lotus flower and is frequently shown carrying the beautiful blossoms. A significant symbol of Lakshmi, lotus blossoms signify spiritual awakening, spiritual understanding, and peace. Lakshmi assists with our spiritual ascension, illuminating our true self so that we may remember our divine heritage and realign with our source of universal wisdom. With this remembrance, illusions that have kept us in fear and have kept us from our true happiness are brought into the light, so that our divine truth may illuminate and clear our path for a joyful, fulfilling life experience to transpire. Aligned with love, beauty, and happiness, the energy that Lakshmi brings is bright, beautiful, and her every expression is presented with tremendous love. Lakshmi's name is derived from a Sanskrit word which means goal or aim. Some of her other titles include the Lotus Goddess, Daughter of the Ocean of Milk, Ocean Born, Lotus, and Lotus Bearer. Lakshmi's story begins with her birth from the churning ocean, riding a lotus blossom bearing gifts and blessings and bringing renewal to the world. Shining like a million stars as Lakshmi rode in upon her lotus blossom, she delighted and dazzled all the gods with her radiant beauty. So spellbound by the goddess's beauty were the gods that they all immediately desired her as their wife. Lakshmi chose Vishnu, the sun god, and they are bound together in love throughout all time. Vishnu and Lakshmi are alternate incarnations as avatars and are always bonded in romantic, devoted, divine love. Within their various identities, the couple may be considered an ally for soulmates and twin flame relationships. Some of Lakshmi's other symbols include elephants, water, gold coins, and rice. She is also associated with the moon and the ocean. Holly and basil are sacred to Lakshmi. This goddess is aligned with gold, and like many ladies, Lakshmi loves beautiful jewelry and fragrant flowers. This brilliant and beautiful aspect of the lady is illuminated light. Lakshmi is aligned with the divine light essence of love, wisdom, beauty, and all-encompassing good fortune. Associated with the essence of light, candles, specifically green and pink candles, as well as sparkler fireworks, are utilized in celebration, dedication, and in honor of Lakshmi. As an invitation into their homes, women will line their windows with lights to light the way for Lakshmi to enter. In addition to assisting with good fortune and love, Lakshmi is also invoked for blessing and clearing the space within the home. She is dedicated to helping us to realize and experience the beauty within ourselves, our environment, and to realize and experience the world as loving, beautiful, and supportive. Above and beyond the earthly plane, Lakshmi assists us in realizing that we are supported and supplied by an infinite universe and brings affirmation of an infinitely loving, divine, universal source. Dedicated to bringing us all-encompassing good fortune, hope, happiness, friendship, positive opportunities, increased well-being and joy are all within this Divine Lady's domain. Goddess Lakshmi is an absolute loving, light-filled aspect of the Divine Feminine, devoted to the alignment with and acceptance of our divine inheritance, all-encompassing and eternal happiness. Here ends the first reading.
Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer.
Our second reading today is a poem called I Cannot Rest with Such a Ravenous Heart, written by American modern poet Dominique Bonten. Lately, when I dream, I see mountains and monuments, hiking trails that are filled with grizzly bears and strange flowers. When I wake up, my hair is weighed down with the scent of grass and campfire smoke. The walls in my room are too small for a girl with a soul as unrestrained as mine. I do not want your desks, your minimum wage jobs, or your diamond rings. I want to travel the world at night like a wolf licking my teeth and ravaging the soil for knowledge. I want my hands stained red with the juice of wild berries, my feet calloused and dirty from the terrain. I refuse the dull routine of a bounded life, and I will not be held captive by the laws of the American dream. Take back your textbooks and lectures. I will demand from the sunset the lessons of good and evil, light and dark. I will demand from the moon the knowledge of how to glow when the world around me has fallen black. The forest is the only friend who has stayed, and I've learned more about destruction and reconstruction from the trees and their leaves than I have from my biology teacher. I do not want to discover the meaning of life in the town I grew up in. I will search in valleys and oceans and in the bottom of wishing fountains in Europe. I do not want to become a scholar from the classroom. I want to plant seeds in every country and grow until I suck the earth dry. Here ends the second reading. Please rise, embody your spirit, and join in singing hymn number 119, Once to Every Soul and Nation. Thank you.
Reverend Gary Smith tells a story that he heard from Robert Foljam about Foljam's chance meeting with a young woman in an airport. "There you were, Hong Kong airport, end of summer," he writes, "tensely occupying a chair next to mine. Everything about you," said young American traveler going home. "The backpack beside you bulged with mysterious souvenirs of seeing the world. Ah, you lucky kid," I thought. "When the tears started to drip from your chin, you drew me into your sadness. You had run out of money, and your friends had run out of money, and so here you were, having 2 days of waiting in the airport, stand by, little to eat and too much pride to beg, and your plane was about to go, and you had lost your ticket. You cried all over me again. After we dried off, we offered to go with you to talk to the powers that be at the airlines, to talk about some remedy. You stood up with us, turned to pick up your belongings, and you screamed. I thought you'd been shot. But no, it was your ticket. You found your ticket. You had been sitting on it for 3 hours. And you laughed, and you cried, and you hugged us all, and you realized your plane was leaving, and you were gone. Now, I love this story, and I've loved it since I first heard it. It is the story of my life. Maybe some of you can see yourselves in this, too. Comedy and tragedy, the moments when it seems like the gods must be crazy or at least laughing at us with a demented sense of humor. The moment we realize we have been sitting on our way home or standing on our own shoelace or pushing desperately at the door marked pull while trying to hold 2 cups of coffee. The moments when you aren't sure if you're laughing or crying or somewhere in between and the line is about this thin. Now, this story sure seems to be a long way from all the glitz and sparkle of the Hindu festival of Diwali. In fact, crying your eyes out while you're in an airport sitting on your ticket is about as far from fireworks and gleaming lanterns as you can get. Here in Wisconsin, Diwali isn't something you run into on every corner. We don't get to see it the way it looks in India. And Diwali, again, as I said during the children's story, is one of those holidays that has morphed from country to country. So for any two countries, no one can agree quite what the celebration is about. But everybody agrees it's really bright, really sparkly, and involves lots of fireworks. Hindu families clean their homes until they gleam. The closest thing we have in Western culture to this would be a Jewish family cleaning for Passover. It's at that level of clean. Mom's got a toothbrush. According to the ancient myths, Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth, travels to everyone's home on Diwali night and stops to bless the homes that are clean and shiny and get her attention. So as the festival approaches, everyone goes crazy cleaning in anticipation of wealth and blessings. Lakshmi will be greeted by gaily painted rangoli. Those are mandala-like designs made of colored sand or flour. And you put them on the threshold of your home. So basically you're making it pretty so that good things can come to you. A lot of families let their children do these. Some families do it themselves as a spiritual practice, a way to remind yourself, I have to invite the good things in. I have to be unafraid to be beautiful and shining. And I'm going to draw this beautiful decoration to remind myself of that. Lakshmi is also greeted with an array of sparklers, little earth lamps that light up and make every room glow golden. And the actual festivities start about 2 days before Diwali. Everybody goes out of their way to make big purchases. You buy new clothes, you buy jewelry. This is the day auspicious for wealth. And it is said if you buy silver or gold on this day, you will be lucky throughout the year. Lakshmi is worshipped through a prayer of invitation called a Lakshmi Pujan, which is performed not only in homes, but in shops and offices. And this struck me because one of the people that I know very well is a UU in California. And one of the things he has often said is we fight very hard for the 99%. We fight hard and we try and we struggle to understand what it is like to have very little. But often he has felt like an outcast in his own church because he is part of the 1%. Dealing with what it means to have is not something a lot of Americans are good with these days. This festival reminds us it's okay. It really is okay to enjoy the beautiful things you have. To do that without guilt, to do that freely, doesn't mean you don't care about anyone else. It means beauty is okay. The light show of Diwali starts about a week prior to the actual festival, like 4th of July here, and continues its way into their new year, which is usually a week ahead. On Diwali, people dress up in new clothes, they go visiting, they bring boxes of dried fruits and candy, and they hug and hug and hug and hug. For most of us, we don't have Hindu roots or Indian roots. But this isn't about appropriating another culture. We don't want to celebrate Diwali as it is celebrated in India. We want to understand the wisdom behind the celebration and to make that understanding our own. Our universalist heritage reminds us that the sacred elements of this world, the gods and goddesses and nature that we worship and revere, is all way too big to be pinned down on one tight little description that someone else gives you. So what does all this have to do with sitting on your ticket? Bear with me for just a moment. Hinduism is about 4,000 years old. It's the religion of 716 million people on our planet, most in India. And just so you understand how many that is, the population of the U.S. as a whole is about 312 million. Hinduism is based on the worship of a number of gods and goddesses, all of them part of a larger divine, the Brahman. Brahman is part of everything and every person. It's beyond understanding and eternal in Hindu thought. And Diwali is the festival of light, of good and evil, light and darkness, where the light wins. Homes are lit up with lights in each window to welcome the goddess Lakshmi and to commemorate Sita and Rama's journey after Sita was saved. People greet one another with hugs and kisses and often with the word Namaste, which means I honor the light within you. And here's where we get to the meat of the thing. The part of the story we really need to consider. Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism all agree there is an inner light in each person. You might call it a soul made up of an element of the divine. Christianity says in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So let your light shine so that the divine can be granted glory, because what is shining is divine. Hinduism calls us to honor the light within each soul. Namaste, I honor the light within you. As UUs, we are called to recognize the worth and dignity of each person, honoring the light in our own way, and we all seem to agree that light is good. But for the Western religions, this is a forced duality. If light is good, dark is bad. Good is great, evil is to be avoided. After all, I mean, didn't Adam and Eve find out the hard way? God said ignorance was good and knowledge of good and evil was bad. So when Eve took that bite of that apple, they were straight on their way to eviction from paradise. The Western religions tell us if we want to be on the side of the angels, we have to be good. And the badder we are, the further we fall. Even the blessed universalists, while granting salvation to all, believed that sin was indeed possible and to be avoided as much as possible. For the modern world, this combination translates for quite a few of us as a sneaking suspicion that when bad things happen, we somehow deserve them. Like Adam and Eve, we must have screwed up somewhere, and now it's time for our eviction. It's actually built into the fabric of our culture, this feeling of desperately needing to avoid the negative, to dodge the bad. It's important with a capital I that we don't lose our ticket. And of course, if you dare to brag about your ticket, if you dare to sparkle a little, well, you might as well hang a sign around your neck that says, I'm going to lose my ticket, miss my flight, and get hit by a bus. In ancient China, mothers with perfect baby boys would often hold their baby with his face covered. And they would announce aloud as they were walking, oh, what a shame it is! What a shame! Hollering up to God that I have given birth to this three-legged, six-eyed, terribly ill, consumptive baby girl. Don't kill it. And they seriously made sure that God heard them say, this baby is broken. Because if they said, wow, look at my perfect baby, there was a belief that God would immediately, lightning bolt, smoke on the spot. Whatever divine was out there would be so angry in your pride at your child that they would take the child. They thought that bragging would make the divine do something terrible just to even things up. And sometimes our culture seems to be operating on the same principle. On one hand, let your light shine. And on the other, don't be too flashy, okay? Keep it quiet. Hinduism sees the world differently. Good and evil, light and dark, both are inevitable. Both are required. Whatever creator made the world filled it with pleasure and pain, joy and sadness, shiny and dull, and every single piece of it is sacred. Every piece of it. And while we might not enjoy the bad, and while the good will always triumph, the dark has to be there in order for the glitter to show. It's not cause and effect, but a wheel made out of a natural cycle. A natural cycle of ups and downs and goods and bads. So in the first reading, we heard about the goddess Lakshmi, goddess of beauty, gold coins, luck and wealth, illumination and joy. On Diwali, she comes to the shiniest places first. In order to call Lakshmi to you quicker, it's important that you create a glow that she loves, that you shine as hard as you can. There's no fear that if you overdo it, you will cause something bad to happen. Good will happen, bad will happen, light will happen, dark will happen. Enjoy the good without being afraid. Remove the guilt that says to you, oh, if something good happens, the other shoe is going to drop. I thought about this as I was watching a video on YouTube this past week. And the video just made me smile. It was a late 20-something young man and his girlfriend, and they were in Alaska, and they were hiking, and they were filming as they hiked, and they found a lake. And he discovered that you could skip a rock on that frozen pond, and you got this incredible twang every time that rock hit. And when he threw the first rock, his face was priceless when you heard the twang, twang, twang. He stood there frozen for a second and then said, "This is the coolest thing ever!" And he went and ran for more rocks. Then he made his girlfriend try it. Then he did it again himself. And he laughed, and at one point he was jumping up and down, waiting to get done so that he could get another rock. This was not somebody unlike us. This was an intelligent young man taking a break from college and hiking. And he was so overjoyed at the sound a rock made on frozen water that he was practically dancing. And in that moment, he let his inner light shine completely. The joy streamed from him. Even watching the video just made you smile. It was touchable. Wherever Lakshmi was, I'm sure she saw the shine. He was absolutely golden. Diwali reminds us that it's okay to enjoy, to glow, to glitter. The kidnapped princess Sita was not punished for her love of gold jewelry by being kidnapped. She was saved by the fact that she loved gold jewelry so much she was weighted down by it and was able with a smile to just throw it away to cause a trail for her husband to find her. Practical. Gain and loss, shiny and dull and then shiny again. In his poem, Circles of Our Lives, poet Wendell Berry says, "Within the circles of our lives, we dance the circles of the years. The circles of the seasons within the circles of the years. The cycles of the moon. Within the cycles of the season, the circles of our reason. Within the cycles of the moon. Again and again we come and go, changed, changing, hands join, unjoin in love and fear, grief and joy. Circles turn, each giving into each giving into all. Only music keeps us here, each by all the others held. In the hold of hands and eyes, we turn in pairs, that joining each to all. And then we turn aside alone, out of the sunlight gone, into the darker circle of return." The cycle or the circle is natural. We are born and die because we don't have, we dare to dream of having. Because we have, we fear to dream of losing. The good and bad are. They do not cause one another. In the midst of this, the Hindu people say to one another simply this, "Namaste, I honor the light within you." The self is the light within. We live through all the moments of our lives, the good and bad, the dark and light, the horrible and the sublime, and the light within us is there, the light of the divine, sometimes lit, sometimes almost extinguished, sometimes relit, sometimes by something as simple as throwing a rock on a pond. We are the traveler in that airport, lost in our tears and far from home. We're the traveler screaming in delight, so joyous, it's almost pain, as we realize we have been sitting on our ticket home. Diwali is the reminder that our own light is there. Sometimes it needs a little help. Use this day to celebrate. It is a celebration of our joy in living. It's a realization that we may be sitting on our own ticket. Get up. Shine bright. Light a lamp for someone else. Lead someone home. Let someone else light a lamp for you. Enjoy what you have. Enjoy your own soul. Namaste. I honor the light within you. Don't be afraid. Let it shine.
Carry the light of hope in your heart and burn with the fires of joy as you go forth. Please rise, embody your spirit, and join in singing hymn number 121, We'll Build a Land.
Thank you.
May your inner light blaze across the sky, and may you sparkle like gold and like silver. Go out and have a blast. Peace, and may it be so.